Hey, peace of Christ be with you. I got a letter this week from my friend Karis at Despondent University. For you freshmen, you don't know this, but I have an old friend from the University of St. Andrews that Chris and I went to graduate school with, and she's the dean of the chapel at Despondent University in upstate Washington in Wantmore County. And occasionally she sends me a letter, and you know, I typically find that there's overlap with things that are going on our campus, and I just like this letter, and with your permission, can I read it to you today? All right. Dated October 1st, 2012. Dear Trigvi, I can't believe this is my first letter to you since the birth of your daughter, Ella Arlene Karis. Thank you for the honor of forever linking Ella to me. As someone who does not have children and may not have any, it means a lot to have a special bond with Ella, even if it's through a middle name. So thank you. May God's blessings be upon little Ella as she's baptized into Christ's family this Sunday at Pillar Church. I'm looking at my calendar and it says October. I love this time of year. It's the golden season. The days of long light begin to restrict as if to make the shadows sharper and more thick. The turn of the calendar signals we are through the early days of the semester, and now we begin to settle in for the long obedience. I'm writing this letter from my study at Revelation Memorial Chapel, where I am enjoying a panoramic view of Viking Square. From here, I love to take in October's early glory on campus. I love to see the trees that line Viking Square begin to explode with vibrant colors of red, yellow, and orange. There is a maple in front of my window that looks like a Roman candle lit on the 4th of July. I love to see students taking advantage of the leisure reserved for college life as they walk between classes with a casual but purposeful gait. I love to see students sprinkled across the lawn in quiet nooks to read undisturbed under the afternoon's long dark shadows. Between the frisbee golfers, the longboarders, the slow joggers, I love to watch the albino squirrels play chase between the trees. This is the kind of day where groups of women lay next to each other on blankets, texting women on other blankets, shopping on their MacBooks, or reading aloud Russian poets like Boris Pasternak just for fun. This is the kind of afternoon where you give the appearance of study, of reflection, but really you are just glad to be alive and enjoying the scene. This is the kind of day college was made for. From the perch of my study, I also enjoy seeing young love walk slowly past, hand in hand, doe-eyed, lost in a reality unto themselves, as if suddenly awakened and alive to a world fresh with feeling. Fall always feels romantic, doesn't it? Like the cover of a When Harry Met Sally movie poster. It's as if the fall foliage that begins to glow with vividness also ignites the hearts of the young. Yet I have also witnessed from my window that just as quickly as the autumn leaves illuminate a vivid brilliance, they just as suddenly turn and fall lifeless to the earth. So too, many young hearts. Like autumn's leaves, once so bright, many early relationships of September, once vivid with life, don't survive the season. This is where I wish students at Despondent U would heed what you have called the October rule. I see students jump into relationships too deep, too quick, too soon. I'm wondering, however, now that October is here and your invisible pastoral admonition has been lifted, what you will encourage your students at Hope to do. What I mean to say is, how will you encourage them to approach dating and love and all of its attached strings? I was thinking about this yesterday when I was talking with Kimberly at Life's Hard Cafe, where the motto is, "Life's hard. Have a cup of coffee." The weather is still nice enough that we could sit outside and enjoy the little patio. The pretext of our meeting was to play on our new iPhone 5s. I've just purchased the new iPhone, and I'll tell you what, this phone is like moving from my dad's old station wagon to a speedy sports car. It's so fast. It's so fun. But I have no idea how to use it. The first thing I wanted to do was call someone, but I couldn't figure out how to make a phone call. I needed a phone app for my phone. So Kimberly, who knows all things Apple and techie, gave me a free tutorial as long as I bought her a drink. A sugar-free skim, skinny, extra tall, triple shot vanilla latte with cinnamon sprinkles on top of extra foam. It was really important that they were on top of the foam, and the foam was extra. Kimberly is kind of particular. She likes what she likes. But on with my story. So we're sitting outside of Life's Hard, and the light is high and the air is cool. Kimberly was showing me how to use functions like Siri, I can never say it right. She showed me how to find my iPhone if it gets lost, use iCloud, download movies, and even make a phone call. It was very helpful. Everyone who is not sure how to use their technology should have a Kimberly in their life. And as we were playing on our phones, comparing apps, we got to talking, as people are apt to do when sharing an experience over an inanimate object that talks to you by name. I asked how the school year started. Her eyebrows narrowed and her jaw flinched. I could tell there was a moment of hesitation in her answer and a kind of reflective tone as she considered the question. She said, "Okay, it's been okay. It's been good, I guess." I asked, "Has it been good? "Well, honestly," she said, "no. Honestly, it's been really, really hard." "What's been hard?" I asked. She said, "Well, when I got to campus, I was excited to be back. Summer was lonely. I had to work all the time, and I didn't really get to have much fun. And this year, well, when I got back, I just wanted to have some fun. So when I got back on campus, you know, I had fun. And at one of the parties, I found myself with this guy, and I had a few, and we were dancing, and well, we kind of rushed into something quicker than either one of us was really ready for." "What weren't you ready for?" I asked. "Well, I don't want to get into all of it, but we started seeing each other, and it got really serious really fast. And at first it was fun, easy, you know, but then it just got hard. I mean, I like the guy, he's attractive and funny, but we just didn't really have anything in common. And he still wants to keep going out and make it work, but I don't think so. Our lives are on different paths. I'm applying for grad schools, and he wants to stay here, and well, it just doesn't look like it's going to work out. And now everything's sideways, and I just don't know how I got into this mess in the first place." I don't know, Trigvi, if you've engaged this kind of pastoral situation much at Hope or not, but I find that a lot of my students, like Kimberly, order lattes with more discernment than they do who they date. I asked Kimberly, "Kimberly, you're a person of faith, right?" And she nodded. I asked, "May I have permission to offer a pastoral thought?" And she shrugged and nodded again. "There's a story of Jesus I like," I said. "It's in the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark. It's early in Jesus' ministry. He starts healing people. People come from all around to be healed by him. But Jesus starts to sense that his popularity as a healer is getting in the way of who God is calling him to be and what God has called him to do. Should he stay and heal all these people, or should he go out and fulfill what God was calling him to do and to be? In other words, Jesus was at a crossroads and he needed discernment. Like you, Jesus didn't know what to do. He didn't know what was a temptation and what was an opportunity. What did God want from him right now? And do you know what Jesus does in that situation? He got up early in the morning and found a place he could be alone, and he prayed." Kimberly rolled her eyes. "Pray? That's your advice? Of course you're going to say that. That's what they pay you to say." "True," I said, "but that doesn't make me wrong. I guess what I'm getting at is that maybe before you just jump into a relationship, you should take a step back or two and actually pray whether this is a relationship God wants you to be in. Like anything worthy, a relationship takes discernment and it requires your best. The human heart is not built for casual affairs. It's just not. And if you are thinking of dating, pray honestly whether you are ready for it. Get up early when your head is clear and ask God, 'Am I ready to be in a relationship? Am I ready and willing to give to this other person? Is this other person ready and willing to give to me? How does God want me to think about my body in this relationship? What does God want for me in dating at all? All I'm saying is this, Kimberly. I think it is a good idea to follow the pattern of Jesus. When he had to seek discernment, he got up early and he prayed. And I wonder if it might help you from rushing into something before you are ready the next time. Kimberly asked, can't I just buy an app instead? After we talked a little bit more, we parted ways. And I don't know what Kimberly is going to do, but I pray that she will pray. I pray that she'll pray for clarity, for discernment, for God's word to bear upon her life, even her dating life. And if she does, I think she'll be more confident and find her dating life less complicated. Well, my friend, that's all the news from Despondent You. Give little Ella a kiss from her Auntie Karis. Tell Kristen she owes me a phone call. And don't forget to love your people, love your place, and love the word. Grace and peace, Karis. I thought about this as we step into October. And yes, the invisible pastoral admonition has been lifted. Game on, date away. But as you're thinking about this, take it seriously and take each other seriously. Honestly pray, not as an escape hatch, but pray. What does God want for you? What is God asking for you? Seek God's will in all things, especially in this place of your dating life. And if you do, I pray that you will experience the full blessing and joy that comes with that. Amen? Go in peace, my friends.